What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. Amy, today it is your day to shine. Hi, Amy Zander. How are you?
I'm great. Woohoo!
It's Outlaw Day. Woo-hoo. So today's podcast is for all you rebellious, contrarian, authority questioners, for all you radical, free-spirited, wind-in-the-hair types. Amy, are you feeling it?
Hell's bells, Kevin. I'm feeling it. I feel it every damn day.
Ding, ding, dong day.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a reminder for our listeners, just in case we slip, if you've heard us talk about the outlaw archetype in the past, we also commonly refer to it as the rebel archetype.
That's right. You better believe it. Rebels. Yeah.
Well, you are in it. You are in the zone. Yes. You're in the pocket.
Yep.
Okay. So, okay, Amy, why don't you get us going? As an outlaw brand yourself, tell us what you think is the most critical aspect of being a successful outlaw.
Yeah. So I'd say the most important part of being a successful outlaw is not getting caught. just kidding. sort of. No, it's understanding that deep in your core, you believe that your way of doing things is the best way, or you're committed to finding the best way of doing things. Despite the fact that the masses and the naysayers of other business owners and everybody else, they might do it differently, whatever it is, but you're going to do it or seek out the best way to do it. So it's not just being a contrarian for the sake of being different. You know, we're not just being rebellious teenagers because we want to annoy people.
Says the parent of teenagers.
I know, right? So you believe and can demonstrate that your fresh, unique, and different approach is the way to shake things up and achieve a level of success that others haven't even dreamed of yet. And you believe that they will eventually figure out the benefit of your way and will eventually start copying you. And that's when you know that you're doing it right.
I'm feeling you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Nice. So, smoking.
Let me throw out an idea. Okay. So tell me if you think this is true. I think outlaws are notoriously independent. They're not really social butterflies, but they do like to hang out with like-minded people. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so when you consider the concept of leadership, and this is the idea I'm throwing out, we kind of generally attribute the big idea of leadership with the hero archetype. But the outlaw kind of has its own flavor of leadership.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yep, I like to think of us as trendsetters.
Ah, trendsetters. Yeah, so yeah, that is a form of leadership. Yep. So if you think about outlaw types in history, you know, people who didn't follow the status quo, you know, they're okay with forging new ground on their own. But, you know, eventually, like you said, the masses will figure things out and they will to start to take their, you know, follow their lead. So it's not really a classical leader follower relationship as much as it's a process of being okay as a leader and being okay when you start getting people following you. Is that a good assessment as well?
Yeah. I'd say that's a very good observation. It's not typical, but everything you said is true. A really important aspect of being a successful outlaw is fresh thinking. So what I mean by this is that at every opportunity, you look at a situation and not view it as a process that you've done before and will do again the same way, but as an opportunity to explore fresh, exciting, different ways of doing the same task. And again, this isn't simply changing things for the sake of doing them differently. It's truly a process of constantly seeking out new and better ways. I often notice other marketing agencies copying things that I do. So like many of my Instagram followers are other agencies, and I love it when I see them doing something that I've done. Of course, it's never as good as when I do it, but but imitation is the highest form of flattery, or however that saying goes, right?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
What, too much? I like too smelling far? What I'm smoking much better than what I'm stepping in. That's a better smell.
That one comes from my formerly teenage son. So. So I think it takes guts to be an outlaw. It takes an enormous amount of self-confidence to pull it off. When the world is telling you that you're wrong, there's not many people who kind of take the stance that they still believe in themselves and their own ideas, and then they still follow their own heart. You know, that takes a lot of courage to go against not just a couple of voices in the ear, but you know, the masses are all telling you you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong, and they're demonstrating by their actions that you're doing it wrong, but you still go your own way. That takes guts and courage. And I'm pretty sure, you tell me, Miss Outlaw, it's got to feel pretty dang awesome when you prove all those people wrong.
Yeah, it does sometimes. You can ask my husband about that. No, I mean, I'm definitely a risk taker and somebody who's not afraid to try things. He is my voice of reason. He does pull me back from the ledge when I'm about to make a stupid mistake. But yeah, for sure. It is a good feeling. Yep.
Yeah, I've always had this. It's a rebellious streak in me, and not that I'm an outlaw or a rebel. I'm, you know, as you we've already identified, I'm Mr. Jester guy. But if someone in my life has ever told me you can't do it that way, they're not saying don't do it that way, that's the wrong way. What they're saying is, oh no, you can't do that.
I have gauntlet thrown.
It is. I truly, you know, and I've had many discussions over the years about this. I kind of see it as a psychological defect, but I do see it as a gauntlet thrown. Yeah, I do challenge. See it as a challenge. And I will secretly in my brain seek out every possibility to show them, the way I'm thinking is right. Mm-hmm. So I do have that rebellious streak in me, definitely.
Right.
So let's kind of look at this more in the context of an example. Okay, so if we were to pick a great outlaw brand, let's pick Apple Computer. That's a perfect example, right? Mm-hmm. When Steve Jobs was with us, he himself was kind of the ultimate in outlaw thinking.
Yeah.
You know, he was really demanding. He was brash. He didn't take no for an answer ever. When he had his ideas, that's the way we're going, right?
Yep.
So a famous story is his engineering team, when asked about the creation of the iPhone, that they sat him down and outlined all the problems that were inherent in all of the early work and early attempts at creating touchscreens. You know, this was not an innovation conceptually. It just had not been done successfully, launched successfully. And he told him he didn't care. And he even took that to the nth degree and said, if you don't want to be on the team that successfully launches a buttonless phone, go work for someone else. You know, he was pretty pretty in their face about it.
Yeah.
So he just didn't want to hear anybody telling him all the ways that it couldn't be done, because that's not the way outlaws think.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, a good example, and Apple's the perfect example, and it's not really a surprise to know that their tagline is think different. And I love this for two reasons. One, because just think different, and also because it's grammatically incorrect.
Right, that's what I was just
going to
say.
Right. I think it's important to note here too, especially when you're using your Apple example, that when you decide to be an outlaw, you don't have to do everything different like Steve Jobs. You might have a slightly different product design, or you might have a different process than your competitors. You don't have to have these big, grandiose plans of being different, but the part that is different must be important to you. You have to emphasize that small bit that's different and shine a light on that difference, and that's how you're really going to make your outlaw brand stand out.
Yeah, and like with process differences, you know, if everybody is doing it one way and you slightly tweak something, it's those tweaks that really lead to innovation. And whoever adopts that first, they're the ones who are seen as the innovative explorer, right? The person seeking out different ways of doing things.
So. Right. Yeah. And like my team, we talk a lot about the processes and how we're doing them and could they be better? Could they be different? We have a very big open door policy. Like every team member is encouraged to talk about their ideas and present them. And I listen to all of them, you know, I mean, I'm the owner, but my team has come up with some amazing things that I never would have thought about. And, you know, like when I hire people, I might have said this in a previous podcast before, but like when I hire people, I basically tell them, I'm not a micromanager. I'm an idea person, and I'm going to give you a loosely based idea and I want you to run with it. And you're going to have to be comfortable in saying, hey, Amy, you did not give me enough information, or I didn't really understand this, or we need to talk about this a little more, because I'm usually almost too vague because I want to see what they come up with. Right.
Yeah. So I think that's a demonstration of part of what we're talking about is constantly being open.
Yeah. The last woman that I hired, she's basically like my right-hand woman. I knew I was going to hire her because she said to me, so basically you want me to read your mind. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want. She's like, I think I can do that. And she does it every day. So,
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So I know that we have words that we need to consider. Why don't you walk us through some words?
Oh yeah. So here are some of my favorite words to use. Exclusive, fearless, radical, strong, unconventional, assertive, beyond doubt, blunt, compelling, candid, brazen, dashing. I like dashing. Enterprising, gallant, heavy, innovative, intense. You know, you get the idea.
I do. So, and I especially like the word blunt.
Blunt.
So, Amy, think back over the past few years as an outlaw. And we know your company, Zedia Media, it's a digital marketing agency, and you emphasize on content creation. You are the word girl for sure. Tell us about some of your own outlaw thinking. I don't think I've ever asked you to like give me a deep dive of your own experiences. We've always talked about customers and the ideas generically.
Well, one of the things that I think makes Zedia Media an outlaw, first of all, Zedia is a made-up word. It's not a word. Yeah. So there's that. And I like, you know, weird made-up words and using words in odd different ways. Although generally, I still don't like bad grammar. But brand archetypes as a concept itself, I kind of believe makes my company stand out. We offer something that not a lot of companies are doing. It's a unique, different way of looking at marketing, even though, you know, our website and concept of brand archetypes is the explorer. The fact that I use brand archetypes is an outlaw kind of concept for me because it's just so different. And then let's see, like my team, we refer to ourselves as the Zedia Mobsters. We're mobsters.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like that wind in your hair, freedom approach to marketing. So when we talk about those big ideas of like the feelings that you want your customers to have when working with you. So mine is, I want my customers to know that we're innovative, we're cutting edge, like we're doing things differently and new, and we're, you know, staying on track or ahead of trends. And that also what I'm offering them is freedom. So that whole sense of freedom to do what you want and spend your time the way you want to, because we're handling your marketing for you. So that those are the two big emotional concepts that we go with. And then if you follow Zedia Media on Instagram or, you know, Facebook, you'll see that our whole concept is vintage, retro vintage, diesel punk. And we have a marketing summit that we are doing coming up in May of 2022, so a whole year from now. But it's going to be all based on Michigan mobsters. So we're going to have like some Snapchat filters and an Instagram thing. You can stand in front of like a lineup picture in each room of
like the Purple Gang kind of
thing. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. That I've been doing a lot of research about the Purple Gang. Yeah. So that's going to be really fun. So
my family cabin in West Branch is just a few miles away from in Rose City, where the Purple Gang hideout used to be. So there's a big connection up in that area of the state. Yeah. Yeah, and for those listeners who are not Michiganders, or if you've never heard of the Purple Gang, do a quick Google search. It's a fascinating story about, you know, early 1900s mobster activity in the United States, and it all happened here in Michigan. So
where we're having the marketing summit is a event center and golf course kind of right outside of Lansing, and they have a history with the like Jimmy Hoffa and the mobs. Like, there's tunnels and stuff underneath their event center that lead to different parts of the city, and the event manager is going to do a presentation on that during our lunch of our summit.
Oh, that's so
cool. Yeah, so we're kind of tying that all in.
Yeah, so this is kind of exciting. I knew you were doing the summit, and, you know, I was very excited about hearing more as the year progresses, but this is the first time I've heard about your monster mobsters conference.
Awesome
stuff. Okay, so let's talk about marketing thinking. So first, because our listeners are varied, you know, there's big companies and small companies, there's products and services, there's people who are local and others that are global, you know, so, you know, they're all over the map. We're not going to be talking about specific marketing ideas, because the details for specific campaigns might not be applicable to all of our listeners, but we can talk about concepts that don't just sway the way that you think about your campaigns, but that can actually lead you to some heavy-duty, outlawish marketing campaign approaches that anyone can adopt. So I think there are just a handful of these big ideas. You know, if you're listening to these, pick one or a couple, and then put some really deep thought into how these big ideas might either inspire or shift your thinking, and how that idea might guide you to take a different approach for an upcoming campaign idea that you have, or, you know, like if it's inspirational, take you in a completely different approach. But these ideas that we're about ready to outline are kind of the big ideas inside the outlaw archetype. And I think this is a really good approach for us to take in talking about outlaw marketing. So I'd like to throw the first one out, and we've brought it up before: fearlessness. Most people aren't fearless. But if your clients pick up on your fearlessness, because that's what you're conveying and that's what you're communicating, that's your part of your messaging, and they are duly inspired, they're going to be energized. They're going to be energized by your attitude, but more importantly, on your freshness, that you know, you're fiercely trying something new. It's definitely a concept that is unique to outlaws and heroes, partly. Amy, what do you got? What ideas do you have?
Yeah, this definitely goes back to our last episode or a very recent episode on pushing the boundaries and walking right up to that line. You need to be a badass all the time as an outlaw.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd also add the big idea of originality. So when you think about unique products or unconventional services, they really stand out from the crowd of the other same old stuff that's out there. Brand archetypes.
right. So your concept is originality. If you embrace this idea of originality and you create a campaign, it could be any concept that you want, but infuse it with that idea of originality, and you will, by nature, by design, you will come across as a outlaw, rebel kind of thinker.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Next one I would throw out is exclusivity.
Mm.
So when you're an outlaw, your approach to business is completely different, and it usually results in products and services that aren't available elsewhere. So if you frame it right, your products and services, they become exclusive, and you just happen to be the only place on the planet where you can get in on the action. So one marketing concept that fits in with this idea is what's referred to as a gated offer.
Those are fun.
Yeah. So a gated offer is anywhere where the audience has to prove that they qualify before they get the goods. Like, up to about, 10 or 15 years ago, AARP, you had to demonstrate that you were 55 or older before you could get in on it. Right?
Not true anymore.
Not true.
I get their stuff all the time.
Well, it was a lawsuit that said that's age discrimination.
Okay. Well, so I find it discriminating when I get their stuff and I'm not 55 yet.
It's a card-carrying member.
They're like, look what's coming, Amy.
Gray hair. We're just around the corner. Right. Okay, so let's take another current example. So let's say, well, not a current actual example, but one where you could actually apply it here. A gated offer can also be where they have to prove something to qualify. And so let's say you're targeting Gen Z college kids, right? Yeah. You know, a younger age group. You may require that they prove that they're actually attending college or a university. That's not age discrimination, so that's still allowed. You know, and if they're able to prove that, then they get the deal. So the idea of this gated offer, it's not that you really care that they qualify or not.
Right.
Or that they really, truly, seriously prove. You know, you have to do your due diligence. You got to be real, right? But how they feel by demonstrating something is like, ooh, I'm getting in on this and other people aren't.
Right.
That kind of exclusivity, the psychological impact of that exclusivity, makes them feel unique and special, and they are more committed
right.
to the connection.
Like they're part of the gang.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, the inside track.
Yep.
Right? The A-table.
The A-team. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so a little bit more straight ahead concept is this rebelliousness. Mm-hmm. You know, being a rebel because that's just who you are. And you find enjoyment in that mind space. You know, if you think about the hordes of Harley Davidson owners, how they feel when they get out there riding, it's liberating. And it's that whole wind in the hair kind of feeling that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, more to the point that kind of thinking can be contagious. Like you mentioned, if you walk in to your client meetings with this energy and confidence and fearlessness, it's going to be it's going to rub off on your clients. They're going to be attracted to that, and if they're seeking that out, and you can tap right into that, they'll definitely be drawn to you. Right. Yeah, and so like let's not forget that many of the archetypes have some sub archetypes.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the sub archetypes is actually called the rebel. Sometimes we just kind of switch out the names like outlaw rebel because it's easy to understand. But there is a sub archetype called the rebel. And I kind of think of this one like Robin Hood, right. which fits this rebellious concept we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So since you brought up sub archetypes, let's list the other two. So just a quick reminder for the listeners. There's three sub-archetypes for the outlaw that we have identified and that we use. It's listed in our book if you want to dive in with great detail. But the second sub-archetype for the outlaw is called the gambler.
Mm-hmm.
So think about risk-taking. You know,
gotta know when to hold them.
Right. So you talked about the, you know, going up to the ledge, you know. So the risk-takers they don't just recognize that there's the edge of a cliff. They go right up to it and then lean out over it heavily, right?
Windmill their arms.
Yeah, right. They really don't care about the risk. Right. Yeah. So.
Yep. I'm sorry. And the third sub archetype is called the innovator. So if it's kind of like fearless exploration and innovation, like our Steve Jobs example. Innovation and inventive thinking is definitely something a brand can tap into for this archetype.
Yeah. Well, I love the innovative people, especially you see that a lot in like tech and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, no surprise that Apple, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me throw out just one last idea here. One big idea that if you want to embrace this idea, you will kind of inherently become an outlaw. And that is to be, and it's a phrase, not a word, radically provocative.
Ooh.
Radically provocative.
Yeah.
So if by your actions and your messaging, you push people outside of their comfort zones, if you can get people to react powerfully because of your provocative idea, your radically provocative idea, the provocative idea shifts them kind of from an intellectual space to an emotional space. You know, and this idea of doing this to the person's brain, it's kind of a controlled redirect. It's not a random thing. It's purely intentional. So you're getting your audience to change their actions based on those newly elicited powerful emotions. And isn't that kind of what really marketing is all about, Amy?
Yes. Those powerful emotions. It sure is. I am definitely motivated and focused on creating raving fans. And the rest of the people who don't like my approach can, you know, well, they can go to hell, really. You know, and
oh, you rebel.
I know.
Oh, you swearer.
I mean, honestly, like, if I'm not pissing a handful of people off, I'm not doing a good enough job. That's how I like
it. Yeah. And that is that right there, the way that you said that, is those are the words of a rebel. And
yeah.
Do you really, truly seek out pissing people off, Amy? No, you
don't. No.
But you don't care if they get pissed off.
Yeah, I'm not going to change or soften my message because it might offend one or two people.
That's right. Because of how strongly and powerfully you're able to connect with the other 98% of people, or whatever that number is.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so why don't you give us a wrap up?
Yeah, so
Outlaw Girl.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you a rebel? We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you about it. If you're trying to be an outlaw, if you want to be an outlaw, you are an outlaw, you want to join our gang and have questions for us, please reach out. If you'd like some more ideas for your words, you know, we have our word banks for $29.95. I've got tons and tons more words for the outlaw. And if you... you know, think that you want to maybe be a guest on our podcast, reach out to us too. We can talk about how you are, you know, developing your outlaw brand. We'd love to talk to you about that. And of course, follow us on all the social media channels at Brand Archetypes.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Amy.
Yep.
It was very innovative and rebellious today.
Absolutely. Have a radical week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.